This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
Happy Friday, everyone, from NPR Music and All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton. I am here with WBEZ and Vocalo Radio's Ayanna Contreras.
Hey, Robin.
Contributor Serena Turos.
Hey, Robin.
And editorial director for member station WRTI, Nate Chinen.
Hey, Robin.
It's New Music Friday, and we're looking at the best releases out now on February 3rd, starting with the artist known as Simmel. His new album is called The Day My Father Died. This is the song Chariot.
In the soft electric light, in the soft electric light, I was a spark, I was daylight. Daylight. I didn't know how to get back home. I didn't know. In a soft electric light, in a soft electric light, I dance like a ghost. No soul or spirit. I'm afraid I'm not okay. I'm afraid of my last day. What if it hurts? I put my heart all in it. I didn't know how to get back home, but I'm still running. I didn't know.
So Simmel is interesting for me because I wasn't really familiar with the project or his previous project, Barcelona, but when I was listening to the music, the first thing that struck me was, I wonder if this person loves Jesus. And I know that sounds really weird, but I was getting real like contemporary Christian vibes, come to find out. Yes, initially, you know, when he was earlier, when he had put out music, he was marketed as Christian, but he feels like this approach to music is more truthful of his experiences, capturing love and loss here on earth more. But then I mention that because a lot of the music does actually have sort of a devotional feel, especially Howling. Howling to me feels like a really groovy, modern, devotional hymn to like earthly love. He also deals with the death of his adopted father in the album. There's just like a lot of emotion and a lot of, I've actually heard sort of a postmodern Beach Boys homage type vibe on some of the records, like Baby Don't Lie in particular. It's just a really lovely, beautiful album.
Well, I did not go to that worshipful devotional place, but it makes perfect sense. What I was thinking about was this sort of melange of comparisons that come to mind as I listen to this album. There are some Bon Iver kind of moments. There are moments that remind me of the Fleet Foxes. And I know that Simmel has actually collaborated a bit with Sarah Watkins. And what you said, Ayanna, about the churchiness of it reminds me of something that Sarah Watkins has said about the success of Nickel Creek and this sort of whole movement of voices raised, you know, together in sing-alongs. She said, you know, this is something that we used to have as a society in church, and that has kind of eroded in the culture. And so in a certain way, this movement of, you know, folk rock or whatever you want to call it, has picked up that mantle. I don't feel like I have a clear enough bead on what Simmel does that is uniquely his. Like, to me, it still feels a little bit like it's in formation, but it's really beautiful, and I think at times quite moving.
Yeah, I was really struck by the sense of community in this album. I mean, there are collaborators everywhere, like Lucius, who they were just on the Margot Price album that we reviewed last month. And, you know, Sarah Watkins does actually show up on a song called Better Part of Me, as well as I freaked out when I heard Guy Garvey, who's the lead singer of Elbow, which is a band I love.
wish I was truly free, like a bird at the mercy of a breeze, just trusting in the soul there, like a mother's love.
And I really think, like, maybe to tie it all together, that, you know, if you don't find space for yourself in worship communities anymore, he has really built himself this community of collaborators and has found maybe love and acceptance inside of them.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, I did feel like it was sort of a Christian expat record, you know.
The title cut was oddly euphoric to me, the day my father died.
Spend all your money and let no one steal your shine. The day my father died.
And there was a bit of a disconnect at first sonically for me, but then you listen to it and it's really all about how he wants Simmel to live his life to the fullest and, you know, be filled with love and to care for his family. And he just wants a good life, you know, a life that's worth celebrating. And I found that really moving. The artist known as Simmel, and that's S-Y-M-L, Simmel. His new album is called The Day My Father Died. Also out now on February 3rd is the debut full-length from the British singer Ray. It's called My 21st Century Blues. This is the song, Thrill Is Gone.
Card games and heart games, I said let's play, I should know better. My boy ain't my boy, but I call him that cause it feels better. Court case last Monday, but he bust trials, I feel better. Painkillers and codeine, I got stomach cramps under my sweater. Dark words from his dark mind, now there's dark stains under my eyes. I'm scared when I look at him and I don't know why, I'm surprised. Silk sheets and I'm crying in them and I'm staying here when I should go. I'm scared if I leave now, never come back, so I sip slow. Say something nice to me, say something nice to me. I know that I agree, you get so mad if I disagree. So he invited me to sit here silently. He can't stand the sight of me, he used to get excited.
Yeah, Ray is this 24-year-old South Londoner, and she's kind of blown up in the last year with this song on TikTok that she's done with 070 Shake called Escapism, which has really kind of played into this new TikTok trend of speeding up songs. She has been in the music industry for almost a decade now, and this debut album is really a long time coming. She has spoken out pretty candidly about being locked into a record deal at a very young age and just being brand tested and repackaged and repackaged and told that she was not quite ready yet and sent off to writing camps. She's written for Beyonce. She was on the Lion King album. She's written for Charlie XCX. She's written for all manner of people. And I think it's really sad to see somebody whose potential is locked off like this in the music industry nonsense. But what the result is this debut album that is so expansive. You can call her an R&B artist, but really what she's doing here is making, I think, such a compelling case for the cutting edge of what that genre can be with this omnivorous diet of modern music. I mean, just in the first three full-length tracks, Oscar-winning Tears, big spotlight theater performance.
So I'll take this front row seat. Baby, baby, you could go ahead. Cry those Oscar-winning tears, popcorn and ice cream. Baby, baby, you could go ahead. Cry those Oscar-winning
tears. Heart Out Here, which she wrote after she got out of her record label deal, it's almost the opposite of melodic rap, I would say.
On my way, figured a way out. My pen is a gun, pen is a gun, I'm finna spray now. He said I was out, said I was done, look at his face now.
It is a rap song with an R&B background, and she has such an incredible cadence. I think that's what really struck me on this album, is that her delivery is so exciting.
it definitely feels like she is sort of off the chain, you know, like she has been pent up and it's all ready to blow. The energy, the sheer energy on this album is something to behold. And also, as you say, so many ideas rattling around, so many different approaches. The track that we came in on reminds me of the fact that she spent a couple of years at the Brit School. You know, it's like, man, what is the curriculum like at the Brit School? She was only there for a minute, but I feel like she picked up a few things there, along with all these other experiences that she's had, collaborating with artists, developing her own thing, running up against a wall. Like, all of it is fodder for what she's putting together here.
I mean, even just thematically, the range of subjects that she's tackling, she's talking about addiction and drinking. She's talking about climate change on the song Environmental Anxiety. And she's talking about, you know, sexual assault on a song like Ice Cream Man, which is this big indictment of, you know, culture in the music industry where, you know, women are expected to put out, to be able to put in the room. But I think her attitude really is so clear to me and ties it all together. Her personality is huge. She is kind of this person that's like, you can't stomp me out. I'm coming back.
Rae is the singer. Her debut album out now is called My 21st Century Blues. And we're going to completely switch gears now and go to a new one from the jazz artist Joe Chambers. His album is called Dance Cobina. This is the song Gazelle Suite.
Well, as you said, Robin, this is something completely different, and not just for genre reasons. Joe Chambers is 80 years old.
80 years young. 80 years young.
Well, you hear that track and you hear the youth. But there's another thing, which is that he is on this album working in this small group, sort of jazz, whatever you want to call it, post-bop tradition that he really helped to put together in the first place. This is a man who played on some of the most important albums of the 1960s. People like Bobby Hutcherson, who was a really close collaborator, Joe Henderson, and Joe Chambers. The more I listen to him, he's really incredible because he was able to handle the sort of fracturing of form that happened in jazz around that time. He could play straight, he could swing, he could go completely out into the cosmos. On this album, you have a kind of focusing of this idea of the sort of diasporic Black musical tradition through all these different cultures. And so this piece that we've heard here, Gazelle Suite, is one of his compositions, and he's thinking about a Pan-African aesthetic. But I want to call out this moment on this track where it goes from this kind of polyrhythmic African-inspired rhythm, and it breaks into a cruising 4/4 minor blues with a tip and ride cymbal and a walking bass. That is like deep soul satisfaction. And when I was thinking about analogies for what he's doing here, this is kind of weird. Hang with me here. I thought about Robert De Niro in The Irishman, because you have a performance by someone who is just such a master and has been doing this for so long and is returning to a story or a form that he helped create in the first place. And he's doing it with all of the wisdom that he's accumulated.
Yeah, and this album in particular, there were so many reimaginings of things that he had recorded multiple times. For instance, when I heard Caravanserai, which was originally recorded on Max Roach's and Boom, which Chambers was a part of, but then also he revisited on a 1999 album, Mirrors. It's interesting to see an artist revisit his compositions and still have so much to say about those compositions.
Joe Chambers, the drummer, vibraphonist, composer. His new album is called Dance Cobina. We do have a few more records that we want to highlight for you this week, but first, we need to take a short break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor Hero Bread. Burger buns, tortillas, and fluffy breads, and oh, so many carbs. Hero Bread makes healthier versions of these carb favorites. Fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, great taste. With more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.CO.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
It's New Music Friday from NPR and All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with Ayana Contreras, Serena Turos, and Nate Chinin. We're looking at the best albums out now on February 3rd. We start the second half of the show off with the band Young Fathers. Their new one is called Heavy Heavy. This is the song Geronimo.
Sometimes bad guys don't need to lie. Let the water run slow and wide. So I don't hear you from the other side. After the sound of the dollar and pound, get your elbows off the table, see the hell on earth. Breathe in like a lion, breathe out like a lamb. Legacies are for the sad, the wicked, and her. Nobody.
So many of their songs have this incredible build to them, so I want to jump ahead a little bit here in this one so you can hear where it goes.
I'm late to the game with Young Fathers. I think I was originally in tune with them with Coco Sugar, which was like kind of their super breakthrough and was very critically acclaimed at the time that it came out. One of the things I appreciate about Young Fathers is they create kind of catchy music that's at the same time sometimes deeply disturbing. I think the dissonance of that, the cognitive dissonance of that is something I enjoy a lot. I also enjoy that they're able to pull from a lot of bags and still be very coherent in what they are trying to do. So, like, there's a song called I Saw, which is like this rowdy glam rock kind of romp.
I want your shield. I want your weapon. Give me that bulletproof vest. And don't forget, I'm not susceptible. For your charms, we'll crash into your arms. Handful of coins and a bold old fist. Speaking early.
which, I mean, I'm team glam rock. Like, mm-hmm. not 80s glam rock, but 70s glam rock. That's my jam. So, you know, they pull a colossal pipe organ move on Tell Somebody. Again, talking about sort of these big cathedral moments in music. And then they have, you know, they're also bringing in this sort of characteristically cosmopolitan vibe. You know, they've got two Afro-Scottish folks in the band. One of the songs actually has lyrics in Yoruba, another one in Zulu, in addition to English. So they're pulling from a lot of different spaces and places to express what they're trying to do.
I'm going to out myself and my very formative time in post 9/11 downtown New York. But this album, to me, on first listen, I was like transported to those years when it was all about TV on the radio for me.
Yeah, I felt the same.
You know, there's grandeur, there's grittiness. There is that unsettling yet elevating sensibility. It's, you know, it prompts surrender.
And everything is like vibrating and buzzing and careening together and shimmering at the same time.
So you know, shout out to the old school Dave Sitek production thing. But, you know, it's unfair to put Young Fathers in that box, especially when you think about the sort of superficial similarities vocally. You know, it's like all those buttons were being pushed for me and it felt good. It was like, man, I have missed this sound, you know. Yeah. But then I wanted to be sure to give them sort of their own airspace. So I listened again with tuning out my own resonances. And then I was able to really come around to what they're doing and especially the cultural perspective they bring, you know, from this sort of British Black diaspora and thinking about the, as you know, Ayana, you mentioned cosmopolitanism, like that's definitely a big part of this. But they're intent on synthesizing it in a way that feels raw.
I think it's amazing that we each kind of heard different things in this album, because I actually heard a lot of influence of Depeche Mode, which I think is everywhere these days. I think the Weeknd album last year, I was like, that's all Depeche Mode, baby.
Young Fathers, the album is called Heavy, Heavy, and completely shifting gears again. Let's go to the country singer Shania Twain. She is back with her first new album in 6 years. It's called Queen of Me. This is the song Pretty Liar.
It's actually really interesting to think about Shania Twain and this new album in conversation with Ray. These are two women in the music industry at opposite ends of or different chapters of their career. And they've both kind of experienced something similar, where when I think about all of these women I loved in music when I was growing up and looking back and thinking like, where did they go? Like, what happened? It's always the case of they got married, or they had a kid, or they got divorced. And it turns out that all three of those things happened to Shania Twain, in addition to the fact that she developed this condition called dysphonia, which is where your voice becomes coarse and it gets a lot harder for you to sing with the same amount of power. And so this happened around 2008, and she really kind of dropped off. Her last big major album was in 2002 with Up, and she took this 15-year-long break. She had a throat surgery in 2019 to hopefully fix her voice. And I think the freedom and confidence that came with having that health problem fixed is all over this album. And that she really took those trials of those years of not being sure if her career was going to be feasible and turned it into this really uplifting album.
Yeah, it's just great to hear her voice again. Mm-hmm. Always. Every Christmas, my kids, my family plays the Michael Bublé Christmas album. And there's a, there's a verse that Shania sings on one of the songs. And it's like, every time you hear her, you just perk up. This is a personal thing. But the issue I have with this album is really just has to do with the pop, the nature of this kind of pop production, which is so aggressively processed. I can listen to this album and enjoy it, but after maybe three or four tracks in a row, I begin to feel like I feel when I've been in an environment with like fluorescent lights burning for too long. I'm just like, you know what? I just need to step outside and get some fresh air and like just take a breather. But that's just my personal allergy to this kind of
sonic.
Well,
it is a hyper polished. I mean, it's almost sanitized in a way. That I agree with, but her voice though comes through,
yeah.
I think, and her spirit, and I think, you know, if you think of this as an album where we get to sort of check back in with Shania Twain and see how she's doing, it seems to me like she's in a very good place, and it's clear that she's having a lot of fun on these songs and really letting loose.
I think it's interesting to think of her as a case study in the evolution of pop music in the last 20 years, because I think she's always been kind of ahead of the curve about what was pushing her genre forward. I mean, she's one of the biggest people when you think about country pop and the person that allowed, you know, Taylor Swift to cross over from country to pop. Like, she set that precedent. Although I do understand where you're coming from, Nate. I think it is a little overproduced, but you know, sometimes your biggest musical legacy is just allowing people to be their fullest selves. And I think there are so many pop artists working today, like Rina Sawayama or Orville Peck, even Harry Styles, who she joined on stage at Coachella last year, who owe a lot to who she is and what she brought to the table. And so, yeah, it's not like as strong of an artistic statement as her stunning run of records in the 90s, but I think it is, like Robin said, kind of good to hear her back again and with a lot of confidence and happy about where she ended up.
And I would have guessed Dolly Parton, but apparently Shania Twain's the best-selling female artist in country music history.
It's interesting because in the 90s, right? Like the 90s were sort of a peak of people purchasing music.
I mean, it was Shania and like Garth. And I mean, that was era of the arena tour, you know, like the country
right.
arena tour.
Shania Twain, her new album is called Queen of Me. And before we wrap this week's show, let's take a minute to go around the table and flag some of our personal favorites out today. Ayana, we'll start with you.
So maybe despite myself, the album I'm really interested in this week is The Go Team, The Get Up Sequences Part 2. I think something about The Go Team that is really compelling is that it can't help but put you in a really good mood. And I don't know that there's a lot of music I listen to that makes me feel just Pop-Tart joyful, you know, sugary sweet, like, let's do this, a little crispy on the edges, but always kind of like hits the spot. That's The Go Team for me.
Nate.
The album I'm really excited about is by a saxophonist named James Brandon Lewis. It's called Eye of I. So straight fire. This album is just straight fire. James Brandon Lewis is a tenor saxophonist and composer and band leader. And he's now recording for Anti Records and really goes there. Like, he can definitely hang with the sort of heavy distortion and like the churn of a kind of post-punk energy. And so it's avant-garde jazz that also feels in dialogue with a kind of snarling post-punk vibe. And I love it.
Serena.
There's a new EP that came out on February 1st, so still this week, from the Korean hip-hop group Epic High. It's called Strawberry.
It's 2023. Yeah. Someone just got canceled. I can hear it through the window. I feel for the man. Have you seen all the tweets, though? Got people screaming JFC. Other people saying, let's wait and see. Get out the popcorn. The world is going full dopamine with the lunacy.
If we're talking about the turn of the century trailblazers whose influence kind of animates a lot of the popular performers of today, I mean, Epic High is right up there. I mean, rapper Tablo was on the BTS bandleader RM's album that came out in December. And Strawberry is this deceptively breezy little thing with a lot of personality packed into it. Tablo kind of said that a strawberry is fresh, and so this EP sounds fresh, but then when you smash it, it looks like blood, if that is any indication of kind of the darker themes that lurk underneath. So that's Strawberry by Epic High.
And I want to highlight a new solo album from Robert Forster. It's called The Candle and the Flame.
I don't do drugs out of time. Make a stop and rewind to correct mistakes of mine, to recollect friends of mine.
Robert Forster is best known to some for being in the band The Go-Betweens, and the solo album is a collection of songs that are both about and inspired by his wife Karen Baumler and her battle with ovarian cancer. She appears on the record, their kids appear on the record, and when he announced this album on his website, he had a quote from his wife with it, and she said that when we play music, it's the only time I forget I have cancer. It's a beautiful record, but not remotely sad. It's a very determined and a very defiant record, The Candle and the Flame from Robert Forster. And that'll do it for this week's New Music Friday. My thanks to Ayana Contreras, Serena Turos, and Nate Chinen. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Robin.
A reminder that if you want to hear full versions of the songs that we played this week, you'll find a complete list of them in the description of this episode in your podcast feed and online at npr.org/allsongs. Keep up with the latest from NPR Music, including Tiny Desks, interviews, new playlists, and more, by signing up for our weekly newsletter. You'll find it at npr.org/musicnewsletter. That's all one word, music newsletter. And for NPR Music and All Songs Considered, I'm Robin Hilton. I hope you have a great weekend. Be well, and treat yourself to lots of music.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
In this country, more than 2 local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.